have visitors. We're appreciative of that. And anytime you can be back with us, we'd be happy to have you. Our goal this morning has been very simple, and that's to worship God. And we're going to continue to do that by reading from His holy word. And I would encourage you, as we go through the lesson, that you will follow along in your Bibles. Follow along in the overhead, and if you want to take notes, do that. Make sure that the things I say come from this holy word, because that's all I'm concerned about, is preaching and teaching the truth from God's word, not anything that I've come up with on my own. And you'd be my friend if I do not do that, to point that out to me, so that we can make sure that the truth is preached. If you ask people what their favorite verse might be, or verses from the Bible, you're going to get all different kinds of comments, but I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of people say the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm is a very recognizable psalm when you hear it. It's one that I learned as a five-year-old, and my teacher was my best friend's mother, and she drilled us week in and week out. And even into this day, because of that effort by her, I can still remember it and repeat it. It is one of the psalms that is so comforting. I think that's why it is used so much. You hear this psalm used a lot at funerals, because of the comfort that it gives for a child of God as they leave this life and go on into the next. So what I'd like to do this morning is to look at this 23rd Psalm, and I'd like to learn some of the lessons that we find in this. Now, one of the things we need to know, if you look in your Bible, it will say a Psalm of David. We know David wrote many of the Psalms that we have in our Bible. We know David was a shepherd boy, and we find that in 1 Samuel the 16th chapter in verse 19. Where this is right before he was going to go out and go fight the giant Goliath. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 19 it says, "Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.'" And we find out from the 17th chapter, before he's about to go into battle, he's going to tell them why he's not afraid. And it says in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and unstruck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of God.' Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" Now, who better to write a psalm about a shepherd than David? David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. David knew that his job, first and foremost, were to protect the flock. And if it meant he gave up his life for the flock, so be it. But he's rehearsed here in 1 Samuel 17 how God had protected him. Even when a lion and a bear had come out against his flock, the Lord delivered him, and he protected that flock. So as we think about these verses from Psalm 23, remember that this man David had very good familiarity with what it meant to truly be a shepherd. So we find in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." David understood that the Lord was his protector. He was his shepherd. He's our shepherd today. And notice what he says, "I shall not want." Now, other versions I will probably say the idea of lack. In other words, the shepherd was not going to keep anything from the sheep that they needed. He was going to provide all that they needed. And notice in verse 2, he gives the point of that. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Now imagine if you're a sheep. We know about sheep that they are very timid. They get scared easily. And yet because of the shepherd, they could lay down in the green pastures without fear of being attacked, because the shepherd was going to protect them. The still waters, they could get aroused and scared very easily. But the still waters that the shepherd would lead them to would allow them to feel safe, and they would have those things that they needed. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in verses 10 through 15. Isaiah talks about, once again, the shepherd and what he does for his people. And we're talking about God's people here. It says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust in the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing." Think about what our God is compared to the nations. Isaiah describes it as the nations are but a drop in a bucket. And our Creator, our God, takes care of us. You know, you see, sometimes if you've seen shepherds, or if you've just seen people with an animal that's having trouble keeping up with the rest, what does he do sometimes? He puts it in his arms and carries that animal. The safety, the assurity that that animal is going to be protected. He leads them so that they cannot be afraid. But also turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. As Ezekiel's talking to those captives that are in Babylon, he talks again about the Lord and what he does for his children. It said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord God, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now, these individuals in Babylon were captive. They were taken away from their land. And yet God promised a day when they were going to be back. They were going to go back to Jerusalem, and he was going to take care of them. But notice who he mentions. He mentions my servant David. Now, was David alive at this time? No. So who is he referring to? He's referring to our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was going to bring about this new kingdom. He was going to feed us. He was going to shepherd us. And he was going to allow us to dwell safely as well. But also, let's turn to the New Testament, to John, the 10th chapter. John gives such a very beautiful analysis of what our shepherd will do for us. It's actually Jesus talking about what he will do. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." What a beautiful thing to think about our Lord and what he does for us. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he is not of the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Our Lord was willing to be that shepherd that gave his life for his sheep, for you and for me. And he did that willingly. He did that not because he was forced to, because he loves us and he wanted us to be saved. But as we talk about the 23rd Psalm and the needs being provided, we can go to Matthew the 6th chapter, verses 31 through 34, as Jesus is talking about our physical needs. We know that our Lord takes care of our spiritual needs, but he takes care of our physical needs just as much. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Very simple formula. We seek God. We seek Jesus. We want to do what's right. We want to do what he says to do. These things are going to be taken care of for us. We're not going to have to worry about those physical needs, just as the shepherd is described in Psalm 23. But also back in the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, jumping back a few verses to verses 11 through 14, once again talking about God being our shepherd, it says, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloud. On the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in the inhabited places of the country, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be in the mountains, high mountains of Israel. What a comforting thought to think of God taking care of us. That he will take us and protect us as that shepherd and give us everything that we need. You know, it talks about that he leads me beside the still waters. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter and verse 13 talks about the fact that when we are tempted, we have that way of escape that's promised to us. Our God is not going to just let Satan tempt us and not give us the way out and lead us out of that temptation if we'll but take it. But we can go and take that way of escape and be able to overcome that. And then also in John the 10th chapter, let's go to verses 25 through 30. Once again, Jesus talking about him being our shepherd, our true shepherd, our one that will do everything necessary for the sheep. Beginning in verse 25, it says, I told you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you did not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And notice what our shepherd does for us. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now imagine when we are doing the will of our Father, we cannot be snatched away. Satan can come at us all he wants, but we cannot be taken away. The only way we are led away is if we do it ourselves. But when we fall under the protection of Almighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Satan can't take them away from us. I don't know about you, but that really is very comforting. Our God, who is above all and who in whom we all exist, will do that for his children. But turning back to Psalm the 27th chapter, The psalmist, once again, this is a psalm of David. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. We can have complete confidence that our shepherd will take care of us if we just put our lives in his hands, just like a sheep does. We know he has promised us that he will be there for us. But continuing on, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, it says, he restores my soul. How many of us on a daily basis just want to be refreshed from the cares and trials of this life? And yet that's what our Lord does for us. He can restore our soul. He can give us that strength. He can give us that endurance to make it through all the difficult things that might face us. He does that for us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, as we look at Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and verse 23, Jeremiah tells us that it's not in man to direct his own steps. We need the Father to know where to go. We need the Father to know what to do. Because if we just do it on our own, we're going to make a mess out of it. But our shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness. If we let him guide us, he will take us to the places we need to go. Proverbs, it should be the 20th chapter, I apologize, 20th chapter and verse 24. The proverb writer says, a man's steps are of the Lord. If we are submitting to his will, we are guided by him. We're not just doing everything on our own and our own whim, but we are using God to help lead us. Proverbs the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. I think this is another passage that should be very comforting to us. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and notice what he'll do, and he shall direct your paths. We trust in God, we trust in our Lord and Savior, and they will help lead our paths. Couple of pages over to the Psalms 5, verses 11 and 12. The psalmist, once again, this is another psalm of David, says, but let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let all those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. The protection that our Lord gives us. Psalms 31, verses 1 through 4. The psalmist describes God again as our fortress, my rock and my fortress. And he asks God to lead him and to guide him. John the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 17. Once again, Jesus talking about himself, he says, I am the good shepherd. And all the things that the good shepherd does, he laid down his life for the sheep. He protects them. He guides them. He feeds them. And he leads them. Along this line about, when we think about, I hadn't mentioned this yet, but verse 4, let's read that together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You think about the trials and tribulations of this life and how Satan tries to come at us in all different directions. And yet, we can have the same confidence that David had in this psalm. I will fear no evil. What can man do to me? For you are with me. And he uses the analogy once again of the shepherd. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They use that to help guide the flock, but also to protect the flock from invaders that would come to try and harm. But in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 and 6, once again, a very, very touching passage, I think. When we think about what our Lord does for us, what our Creator does for us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with what such things as you have, for he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me?" There is nothing that can happen in this life that can take us away from the love of God if we're willing to serve Him. God always is there for us. We just have to submit ourselves and our lives to Him. And just imagine, we have the protection of the Creator of this universe. When we get down, when we get tired, when we get frustrated, think about that. The Creator of this universe, who gave me life, will protect me and will give me strength. But I have to go to Him for that. He is always there, and He always cares. We won't read Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3 again, but let's go to verses 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell." In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 39, Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" In other words, if God is for us, what does it matter who might try and come up against us? God is on our side. We cannot lose. We may lose our physical life, but it doesn't matter if we are right in the sight of God, because we have a home waiting for us. God is there for us. Turn with me, if you would, to John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Once again, I think a very touching passage, when our Lord promised not only His apostles, but He promised us. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus told His apostles, "I'm going back to prepare a place for you. But I'm coming back one day, and I'm going to take my own back with me, and we're going to go home." Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, that the time of his departure was at hand. He says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith." And notice what he said next. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, the Lord, shall give on me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing." To dwell in the house of righteousness forever. That's a beautiful thought. If it's not to you, I don't know what else we could say. Psalm, the 17th chapter, and verse 15. David also wrote about something that's going to be interesting, that man could never do here on this earth. It says, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." We're going to see God as He really is one day. That's going to be really special. We remember when Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to receive the law, and he saw the back of God, that His face shone so greatly that they couldn't even look at His face. And yet when we go to heaven, we're going to see Him as He really is. And we're going to be there for all eternity praising Him. First John, the third chapter, verses 2 and 3, says a lot of the same things that we just read. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I can't really expound anything on that. I mean, to think about being in the presence of Almighty God forever, where we have been promised there's not going to be any tears, there's not going to be sorrow, there's not going to be pain, to live forever in joyous praise of our Creator. And then finally, in Psalms 61st chapter, verses 1 through 4, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. The 23rd Psalm gives a child of God so much hope, so much love, so much caring from our Creator, that He will protect us, He will provide for us, and He will deliver us. I hope this has been encouraging to you. It's something that we need to meditate on daily. When we think we're alone, when we think that everything is going against us, we're never alone. Our God is always there for us. At this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation, because we can have those blessings for throughout this life and throughout all eternity if we're but obedient to His will. And if you've never done that, we want to give you that opportunity this morning, that you can come forward, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you can be buried in the waters of baptism, and know that your sins have been washed away. If you've not done that, we would encourage you to do that this morning. If you're a child of God and you need the prayers of the congregation, maybe you've done something that has brought shame to God, or maybe you just are going through a difficult time and want our prayers, we'll be happy to do that. God wants to hear from us. He loves us. He cares for us. He sent His only Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.
I have this life.